أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ويسألونك عن ذي القرنين قل سأتلو عليكم منه ذكرا. In the previous ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala related to us the third incident that had taken place between Musa alayhi salam and Al-Khadr. And that was the moment when they came into the city of Antakya, Antioch. And we have learned of how the people dealt with them over there and what Khadr alayhi salam had done for them. And then eventually the discussion that took place between Khadr and Musa alayhi salam, when Khadir alayhi salam interpreted for Musa alayhi salam the reality of his deeds and his actions over the past few perhaps days or whatever it may have been when they were together. Coming back to the reason that prompted the revelation of this chapter, Surah Al-Kahf, we said it was the Quraysh who asked Rasulullah some three questions. They wanted to verify whether he was a true prophet. So they went and they traveled to Madinatul Munawwara. They asked the Jews over there in Madinatul Munawwara that, listen, you people have a divine scripture amongst yourselves. How can we test the authenticity of this man to determine whether he is a prophet or not? They told the Quraysh that go back and ask him three questions. The one question related to the ruh, the soul, the spirit, the true nature of the ruh. The second question, ask him about the companions of the cave. And the third question, ask him about a man called Dhul Qarnayn. Now two of the questions have been answered. The one with regard to the ruh was answered in the previous chapter of the Quran in Surah Bani Israel. And the second question with regards to the people of Kahf, the people of the cave, that was also satisfactorily answered. And the third is about Dhul Qarnayn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in ayah number 83 of Surah Al-Kahf, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ, and they ask you, that is the Quraysh, عَنْ ذِي الْقَرْنَيْنِ, regarding Dhul Qarnayn. قُلْ, tell them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, سَأَتْلُوا عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْهُ ذِكْرًا, I will recite to you mention of him. I will recite to you something about him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to me. Who was Dhul Qarnayn? Firstly, let us study the title Dhul Qarnayn. That was not his name. It was a title given to him. The literal meaning of Dhul Qarnayn, Dhu means the possessor of something, the owner of something. So if a person is a possessor of wealth, we call him Dhu Mal, the owner of wealth, the possessor of wealth. Allah refers to himself in the Quran as Dhu Fadl, the possessor of all bounty and grace. So Dhu means possessor. Al-Qarnayn, Qarnayn is a dual noun. The singular is Qarnun, Qaf, Ra, and Noon, Qarn. What does Qarn mean? The literal meaning of Qarn is a horn. Horns that animals have, we refer to it as a Qarn. Okay? And that is why even, or a cape, like if you look at Cape Town, in Arabic, the Cape of Good Hope is referred to as Qarn. Qarn Raja As-Salih. Cape of Good Hope, Qarn Raja As-Salih. Qarn is also a cape, referring to anything that's sort of protruding. And that is what a cape resembles. It resembles a horn, a protruding horn. So he is known as, now Qarnayn means two horns. So he is known as, the title given to him is the possessor of two horns, or the owner of two horns, or the one with two horns. There are different interpretations that have been given with regards to why he was known by this title of his. The first interpretation is because he had two hair locks. So he had long hair, and his hair was plaited, and he had these two hair locks, and these hair locks were known as Qarn. Right? So that's why he was given this title. The other reason for this is because he ruled the entire world. Allah speaks of three fascinating journeys that he had undertaken. And of course, this is where mention of Ya'juj and Ma'juj is made. Because on one of his adventures and one of his journeys, he encountered the people of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed him to rule the east and the west. And each one is known as a qarn. Each one is known as a qarn. So the east is one qarn and the west is one qarn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed him to travel to the furthest path in the east and the furthest path in the west. And he conquered all the countries in between this region. That's why he's known as the one with the two qarn, referring to the east and the west as a qarn. The third interpretation that is given is that he was a warrior and he was a king, a righteous king, and he had two marks on his head that resembled a horn and that looked like horns, and that is why he was given this title, Dhul Qarnayn. Was Dhul Qarnayn a Nabi? Was he a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or was he not a Nabi? According to majority of the scholars, Dhul Qarnayn was not a Nabi. He was not a Nabi, but he was a very righteous, pious believer and a king that ruled the world. There are four kings who ruled the world. Four kings in the annals of history that ruled the entire world. Who are the four? Two were believers, two were disbelievers. The two believers were Sulaiman, number one. Sulaiman alayhi salam. Allah gave him rule over the entire world. The second was who? Dhul Qarnayn, the other believer that ruled the entire world. The two disbelievers, the one was Namrud. Ibrahim alayhi salam encountered Namrud. Namrud was the one who instructed that Ibrahim alayhi salam must be cast and flung into the fire. And the other was Bukhtanasar. Bukhtanasar, we spoke of him when we discussed incidents related to the destruction of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. He was one of those kings who reduced Masjid Al-Aqsa to the ground. He literally destroyed Masjid Al-Aqsa, persecuted the Israelites and the people of Musa alayhi salam. In which era did Dhul Qarnayn live? Again, the Quran does not provide us with information regarding the era in which he lived and the era in which he ruled the world. The most common view is that he lived in the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Ibrahim alayhi salam was amongst the earlier prophets of Allah Azza wa Jal. So he lived in the era of Ibrahim alayhi salam. In fact, it is mentioned that he went to perform Hajj to Baytullah. He went on foot, Dhul Qarnayn. And Ibrahim alayhi salam was the one who welcomed him, came out of Makkah al-Mukarramah, welcomed Dhul Qarnayn, imparted some words of wisdom to him. And there was a meeting that had taken place between these two great friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is said that Khadir alayhi salam was his advisor. So Khadir alayhi salam, whom we spoke of, was the advisor of Dhul Qarnayn. But that would mean that he did not live then in the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, but he lived many, many years after that. There's a misconception, and growing up also, sometimes we were told this, that Alexander the Great, Sikandar, referred to the Greek king. It is said, there's a misconception that when Allah speaks of Dhul Qarnayn, Allah is referring to Alexander the Great. That is not correct. This is a huge misconception, because Alexander the Great, he was a student of Aristotle. And this is now we're talking about 400 years before the era of Isa alayhi salam. That's when Aristotle existed, the philosopher, the Greek philosopher, right? And it is said that Aristotle or Sikandar, Alexander the Great, was also a king and also conquered many lands. He was a student of Aristotle, and it is impossible for Alexander the Great, Sikandar, to be the same person, Dhul Qarnayn, because Alexander, Sikandar, he was a polytheist. He was an idol worshipper. And he was a disbeliever. So the two of them cannot be one and the same person. He was, according to certain narrations, Dhul Qarnayn was based in the land of Yemen. That is the land of Yemen. He was a Yemani. he lived in that land, that is where he ruled from, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gave him the ability and the strength to travel to different parts of the world. May Allah granted him this.